Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, a special program. We are on here for a full 3 hours. That's right. From 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock, we've got lots of good stuff going. This first hour, it's going to be all about Apple, the big release this week. We're going to be talking about, is it really a big deal? Has the distortion field gone away now after about 5, 6 days? Second hour, well, we're going to be talking about Internet radio and Apple Pay, and then open line our third hour. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor, and an hour earlier than usual. We're delighted to have this extra time with you, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it with us as well. We're going to be doing something we don't normally do, and that is that after we do a little bit of chatting, I introduce you to my co-hosts, in case you haven't heard us before. We're going to open up our phone lines at 800-859-0957, because we want to know what you think about all this Appleness that has happened this past week. The iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, and the Apple Watch, along with Apple Pay. And just kind of get your idea. What do you think of it? Have you put your bid in for one already? You think it's much ado about nothing? Because in many ways, Samsung has had all of the stuff that Apple showed today, or pardon me, this last week. They've had it for quite a while. The watch, the larger phones, and all sorts of stuff, plus a whole bunch of things more. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, and we want to get you involved in the conversation as well. And that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Here's the number, 800-859-0957. If you'd like to get involved with that conversation, hope you do. In just a little bit, we'll be talking about that. And, of course, in studio with me, Mr. Gary Baker. Good to have you here, Gary.
It's great to be here, and I have just one other bit of news. I know Apple dominated the news this week, but USA Today came out with their Best Boys sports program, and Detroit Catholic Central in Novi, it's not in Detroit anymore, but Detroit Catholic Central was number one in the country, best sports program.
Wow. Which happens to be the place where...
Well, I do have to, yes,
acknowledge that. Full disclosure.
My son does go there.
Yeah, and he plays for lacrosse, and he's an incredible player, too.
And he's very excited, as they all were. That was a nice recognition.
Somehow that...
So now we can go back to Apple.
Yes, somehow that did not escape the distortion field. The distortion field was in full effect. Eddie Rodell's here. How you doing, Eddie?
Oh, I'm doing great. I've been busy. Up early working on computers, but all this
You finally have more computers to tinker with.
I do. More than I wanted. But all this Apple cider, Apple schnapps, all Apple stuff is... Apple fritters is, you know, kind of
I hope you're getting a little
all food oriented.
Yes, I hope you're getting some walks through the apple orchard at the same time.
It's the weather orchard.
Now, Gary, we were talking about this before the program, but you were online Thursday. Was it Thursday night at midnight?
No. Okay, are you kidding? But Friday afternoon, I thought, you know what? Let me see if I can pre-order. And I'm lukewarm about it, but I thought, okay. Let me see if I can pre-order.
No, wait a minute. Lukewarm?
Yeah, lukewarm.
About the iPhone 6?
No, about ordering it real quickly.
Ordering real quickly. I got you.
And the reason for it is there's... I'm not sure if I want to go with the iPhone 6 Plus or just the regular iPhone 6. And the difference is size, battery life.
Yeah.
The display is largely due to the fact that it... you know, that it's larger. It's, yeah. It's 5.5 instead
of 4.7. Difference in the camera, by the way. One difference that's only in the plus.
Yeah, the stabilization.
Video stabilization, yep.
Right, was only in the plus. So there's minor differences, but the size is the big difference. And I don't know if it's going to fit in my pocket. Right? Here, I'll show everybody. See how my... See, I stand up. See how my pocket...
Those tight chino jeans he's wearing.
My existing phone fits nicely in my pocket. But that's a 4-inch, not a 5.5-inch.
I brought this up to Foster on the drive-in. When I did like an internal survey and was listening to people online talking about this, a lot of women were saying, 6-inch, no problem. I want it. And then most of the men were walking around with pieces of paper going... You know, and seeing if it would fit in their pocket, they'd cut it out to that dimension.
I think that's silly because...
The purse was the big deal.
The purse was a big deal.
Men wear it on a holster or in their pockets, women, purse.
Put it in the purse. And if you didn't have that constraint, of course you'd get the plus. Yes.
All right, we got our first caller coming in. By the way, folks, we're going to be doing this afternoon during this first hour. We're inviting you to call and tell us, you know, are you interested in this iPhone 6? And which one of them? The big one, which is 5.5 inches, or the smaller one. And let's see, we've got Michael with us. Michael from Toledo, Ohio. Michael, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, Mike, turn down the radio so we can hear you.
I'm tuned in right now.
Okay, Mike.
You might want to put it on hold.
Turn your radio down and talk
to us
on the...
Turn your radio down.
There you go. Talk to us on
the... Okay, Mike, you still there?
Is that better?
Yeah, thank you very much. Now
see,
we can hear you.
It's on delay. That way, if you say anything badly, we can take and blip it out. But otherwise, you're going to be talking to yourself, but you'll think it's really weird because you'll hear yourself about 3 or 4 minutes or 4 seconds later.
I'm confused enough hearing myself in real time, let alone delayed. Okay, Michael, tell me, what is your deal? Are you excited about the iPhone 6?
I'm all kinds of excited. You know, it's supposed to be real nice. You know, I heard about all kinds of properties and everything that's going to be, you know, boosted forward in the technological world with the iPhone 6. I actually have my buddy Lane here with me, too, and he wants to talk a little bit about it.
Okay, good. Now, tell me, Mike, are you going for the iPhone 6 or the iPhone 6 Plus, the big one?
What was that?
Are you going for the smaller of the two, or are you going for the big one, the iPhone 6 Plus?
Oh, I'm looking for the iPhone 6 Plus. I like a nice big phone. Something I can, you know, see the retinal display.
I got you. Okay, now I tell you what. Hang on the phone. I'm going to put you on hold, and Annie will tell you in just a moment that what we're going to do is come back. I want to hear what Lane has to say. But we've also got the phone lines open for you folks, and we're going to be discussing this whole thing about Apple, the iPhone, iPhone 6, the Apple Watch, and Apple Pay, a whole bunch of stuff here in this first hour. Open line with you at 800-859-0957. Give us a call. Let's hear what you think about Apple's new pick. So glad that you decided to enjoy two unusual things. An extra hour of the Internet Advisor here from 3 until 4 now. Actually, until 6 o'clock. We're here for a full 3 hours. Lots of other stuff coming up. But this hour, the other unusual thing is that we have an open line show. And the open line show means that you can call in. Here's the question we're asking about. We're asking, when you've heard this Apple announcement about the launch of the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, iPhone 6 is 4.7 inches, bigger than anything Apple's made, but certainly not bigger than a lot of other stuff that's in the market. And then the Apple iPhone Plus, which is a 5.5 inches. Big phone. Now, the question I'm just asking you, and this is starting off with, is which one, first of all, are you interested in buying one of those? And secondly, why? Since they're same size of those things out in other brands, and kind of get you just your feel for this whole last week of Appleness that's been out there.
Foster, did you just say that Apple just launched a pair? Is that what I heard you say?
Jeez. Pair of phones. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I got my fruit picked up. Thank you very much. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. 800-859-0957. And I understand we have Lane on the phone with us right now from Toledo. Am I right? Is that Lane?
Yeah.
Hey, Lane. How you doing, sir? Hey, Lane, you've heard about these Apple phones that have been launched now. First of all, are you really excited about getting your hands on one?
I've got mixed emotions about it.
Okay.
I've really been looking forward to a bigger screen.
Yep.
I've been I have the 4S right now, and I'm really looking forward to buying the new bigger screen. It's been a while since I've had an upgrade,
mm-hmm.
so the new bigger screen is really
okay. So the screen size. Now, based on that, Lane, I'm curious: would you go for the really big one that's going out now, since screen size is the real issue? Would you go for the one that's the iPhone 6, which is 5.5 inches?
No, 6 plus.
I'm sorry, 6 plus, which is 5.5 inches.
I would definitely go for the plus.
Yeah,
the
okay.
Plus definitely, it provides that big screen that I need.
Now, Lane, let me ask you this. How do you carry it? Do you carry it in your pocket?
No, probably not. I don't know. How big is it, you said?
It's 5.5 inches, so it's a good size.
So it's about the size of the biggest Android phone that you can buy.
Yeah, the OneNote. Oh, okay. Yeah, the Galaxy OneNote.
Right.
Right. Or Note, rather. Yeah, it's about that big. Well, actually, you remember, Gary, that I was carrying the 1520, the Lumia 1520, which right. is, that's a full 6 inches.
That's a 6-inch.
And that was huge. Yeah. Now, what I understand, by the way, Lane, and we'll have to wait to see until we get our hands on these things, and I was tempted to run out to the Apple store up here in Somerset Mall because I wanted to get my hands just to feel what that was like. Oh, they don't have them yet.
Not yet.
Because I've heard from some people who were there the day that they released them that actually, even though they're bigger, they don't feel wider.
Oh, they don't.
They feel just like it's a right kind of fit.
It's only a knuckle difference in width, pretty much.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Now, you said you had mixed feelings, Lane. What was the mixed feeling about?
I don't know. I'm just seeing if Apple can really pull it off, this big screen
mm-hmm.
Technology. You got yeah. all the other companies out there doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. My sense is, you know, all these things that Apple came out with this past week have been out for a while on Samsung devices in many ways. The size, you know, a fingerprint reader.
The 8-megapixel camera's been out. Right?
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff has been good. Out. So why haven't you gotten it from another vendor rather than from iPhone, Apple?
I don't know, actually. I think it's just the calling inside something. I don't know.
It's calling to me. No, I think it's because, my guess is that, Lane, you and I and a lot of people just are locked into the Apple-ness of it, the whole Steve Jobs, Apple, it just works kind of thing. That's it. And there are other people out there who are Android users, and I'm dying to talk to some of them, too, who are locked into their side, who are saying, what are you talking about, you Apple fanboys? You nuts or something? Hey, thanks for calling us. Appreciate your call. Here's a number, 800-859-0957. We got somebody else down in Ohio. Zero Cool is his name. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
I think that's made up. Is that a made up name?
No, that isn't a made up name. You Google that, you'll figure out where that came from. Listen, you just got an Android fella here. I'm a Linux
okay.
user.
Oh, cool.
I'm a Linux user, Android. You couldn't actually give me an iPhone to test it, but I am intrigued by one thing.
What's that?
Well, the sapphire glass is an interesting idea, and it's so expensive.
Yeah, and you
to
know
the manufacturer. I'm wondering what other neat features the phone might yeah. have if you cut. People.
Excuse me. Hold it. Hang on. Just a second.
Okay.
Just for clarification, they don't have the sapphire glass on these two phones.
Oh.
It's yeah. only on the...
So those were all rumors.
Yeah.
And,
it is.
Yep, so it didn't
all
come
all fabrication,
true.
Huh?
Yeah. It didn't come true.
But it will be...
I read that somewhere.
Well, it'll be on the watch. It'll be on the watch.
I read that somewhere that it's coming, though. Okay, that's what I read. I apologize.
It's coming on the watch, as Foster said.
And it's very expensive.
It's expensive, and that's probably why they didn't include it now. They're probably waiting to see if yeah. they can't get some technology boost here to drop the price down a little bit.
So my reservation really is not so much the sapphire. Then thank you for that. But the reservation is when a phone gets to be the size of a brick when you're making a phone call, I don't want to hold something in my hand that large. It doesn't look like a phone. It looks like you're talking into a brick.
Well, it actually probably looks like the old phones, and we've gotten used to the new, you know, to the newer, smaller phones. Remember the old phones that came
yeah.
on the dial? What should we? I remember seeing them in a history book
oh.
That came on they came on those dial phones, right?
Showing your age.
Well, the other thing.
But, you know, and we're, to some extent, we're going back that way.
Right? I thought no one was older than Foster. Now, wait a minute.
Oh, no, wait a minute, no.
Well, the other thing is that there's probably 30% of the people that use smartphones also use the Bluetooth headsets.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the thing about Android users is we like to hack. We like to tinker and toy.
Yes.
And not only is the operating system Android completely open source, unlike Apple and all of its products, including all of its OEM components. It's wide open for Android users to explore. But it's really not a phone for someone who's not tech savvy, in my somewhat sensible opinion.
Which phone is? What are you saying?
I'm saying Android is really for somebody that really likes to tinker and has technical.
Almost.
Because there's quite a few exploits, and you have to be able to put the correct security on an Android phone, whereas Apple is a little more secure in that regard.
Yeah, and it's been built. By the way, the reasoning, the thought process behind it with Steve Jobs around, it just works.
Right.
So
when
I open up a box and I pull up my iPhone, this has been true of all the other ones I've had, I press the on button, I know where I am.
And most of...
Unlike when Bill Gates was introducing Windows 2000 on stage and it crashed in front of the world, right?
Well,
it
they
didn't
actually
work when he pressed on the button.
there were some technical hiccups too on the Apple announcement on Tuesday, but you know they fixed them quickly and got on with it.
But the sapphire glass thing here's what people stop learning to drop their phones and because here's the thing. I've actually read something. It's either 1 in 10 or 2 in 10 people have broken screens on smartphones. I just saw that the other day.
I find it amazing because I haven't done that, and I have cases that I put on them. As soon as I get it, I have a case on it, which is... But, Eddie, what are you going to say? Hang on a second, sir.
I was just going to say, now, I don't remember reading any of this. Is it going to be waterproof? Either one of them.
You can swim with it, huh?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't think so.
They're, because of the way they're built, they're a lot more water resistant than a lot of phones. But they're not waterproof. However, with sapphire glass, you know, not only can you drop them, from all of what I've read, you can drop kick them. And that's really nice. Now, they don't have the sapphire glass on this.
No, not as much. Okay, hey, listen.
We'll be
back in just a moment. We've got Philip, and we got some folks from Windsor and other folks who are calling in right now at 800-859-0957. Have you caught Apple iPhone 6 fever? We're going to be talking about that if we keep on going, or finding out how you feel about iPhones, Apple's new ones that are out right now, or if you're just thinking it's way overdone. We're enjoying kind of a special time here in honor of Rich Lisinski, our engineer, who celebrated a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you, my friend. Rich has been the one of the people behind the microphones here, helping us behind the glass with our program. Mike Stetz is in there right now. Thank you, sir. Good to have you there. And Annie, our lady of the phones, Annie is there, Annie Nichols. And the phone number, it phones open to you right now, 800-859-0957. We're asking you, how do you feel about these Apple iPhone 6s that have been released? And just the whole Appleness this past week, the Apple Watch coming out. I mean, is it for real? Overpriced? There are other ones out there right now. What's going to make this one better than any other? Let's go to Philip, who's with us right now from Bloomfield Hills. Hi, Philip. How are you doing? Is there an Apple iPhone 6 in the future for you?
Oh, you bet. I heard you on the radio. I was actually on the show last year.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I heard you discussing the 6, and I thought, well, I'll embarrass myself and say I'm like a little kid the night before Christmas. And I went to the Somerset Mall. I couldn't get through on the phone yesterday. My offices are in Troy.
Oh, all right.
And I said, well, I'm just going to drive over there.
Uh-huh.
And they do not. I thought, how pathetic. You know, tease everyone. They should at least have one on display.
Yeah.
You know, to get a touchy-feely.
They don't?
No.
Well, no.
If you go to China, you can get them on display.
If you go to China.
Well, you see, what I thought I was going to do, quite honestly, is I'm not far from office right now. On the internet, I always love saying that. On the internet, there, if you just Google it, there are some free printable 3D files that you can get and access to a 3D printer. They have they have a 3D printer up at the Microsoft store.
Oh.
And I got a 3D printing app on my... So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go shame them.
Oh,
I'm
going to
go over and a friend of mine over at the Microsoft store, and I'm going to print out an iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, and then carry them, and then walk downstairs and take them over to the
Apple. Would that be fun? Watch you do that?
That would be too much.
But, you know, the when you do that, though, the failure is you're going to have to probably plug it into a Windows system. It'll probably crash.
that's the interesting thing, because I do mostly everything in a PC environment.
Yeah.
Microsoft, like Legion. But the Apple, when it comes, they've got... I didn't want to admit it at first, and I've been in graphics since day one, that the original, we used to have jokes in IT of, the similarities between an iPhone and a rock. And that was with network functionality, things just, it wasn't ready for prime time.
Right, not enterprise, certainly.
But the maturity of iOS and the portable metaphor for something that you carry with you constantly, the maturity of the apps. I've always found I've tried to like Android, and it always comes down to two camps. Today. Oh, you're an Apple fanboy. I said, well, if that's the label, then I'll take that.
Well, wear it.
There are almost three camps there. There's the Windows, because there are some people, not many of them, 3% of the market, who are Windows fanboys. Matter of fact, Shane is coming in the next hour. He would be, I think, pretty well classified as a Windows fanboy.
He would say that to him.
Apple fanboys, and then Android, as you said. Philip, I got a few other people here, so I'm going to head out and move on and talk with them as well. But
I would love to see him print
be something?
Off a
3D printer
in
the Microsoft store printing off
Apple. And I was excited about going to the site and printing out 2D cutouts so that you could, size it on the table. And
so while there's, in many respects, what Apple has done is really just caught up. Right, to Android and to Samsung.
They've been accused of doing that a lot in the past.
But they always have.
Exactly.
I can't think of something that they've really been out front and been the innovator on.
But
what they do really, really, really well, and that is, you mentioned it in the last segment, it just works.
Yep.
And two, the form factor. I mean, I'm excited about getting the new phone. I am not an Apple fanboy. I use, Microsoft products or Linux products at work. I like those. They're much more configurable. I like my iPhone.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Let's go to, Windsor, across south of the border to Windsor, and welcome you. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Okay. So, are you anxious to get your hands on one of these Apple devices, or... Enough.
Honestly, I've been an Apple fan ever since the 3G, and I've been upgrading consecutively 3GS, 4, 4S. I got to the 5, and I figured there were other options out there, so I decided to go for a change. So I jumped onto the Android wagon. I bought my Samsung S4.
Yep.
And I'd have to say, ever since I've converted to Android, I don't think I'll ever go back to Apple. It's the fact that the operating system is so closed. I think I'm just more of a tech-savvy guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
That's what we heard.
Almost all of the really tech folks, techies that I know, carry Androids.
Eddie, among the techs that you know at working at GM there, is it true that most of them would be carrying Androids?
They'll take whatever's free.
From the lunchroom to...
That's not true. We still have a number of people that... even though the BlackBerries in the General Motors environment is less than 5% now, it's still iPhones have only just now been approved for the general populace instead of executives and special approval. So, that's available. So we have a large Android base, but we do have a number of tech people that love their Apple devices.
Now, you said, by the way, before to our caller that the tech savvy people, you love to tinker with it, right?
Right.
And that's what somebody from Toledo was saying, that it's the ability with that. Now, that drove me nuts because I got my wife an Android device thinking that it was a little easier for her to use anyway, or I couldn't afford the iPhone. I forget what it was. But the point was, I have spent hours trying to configure that thing, and I still haven't figured it out.
Configuring what, Foster?
Configuring the interfaces, you know, so what your homepage looks like, and yeah, you can download all these things and manage the battery, and you know.
Yeah, you know why I love my Android, because I have an S4 as well. It has a file manager. Do you have a file manager on your Apple?
No.
I can move around my files. I take them out of the download folders, and I move
them. Yeah,
there's
a lot of reasons to like Android. Yeah. I will tell you that I thought that the phone I'm carrying now, the 5, I have a 5S. I thought that's going to be my last one. And I know if I go to Android, I won't go back to Apple. So I figured, okay, that's my last Apple phone. I'm going to go to Android next, right? Well, this one's continuing to work fine, so I don't have a need to upgrade. I thought, okay, I'll wait till the 6 comes out. I think I'm going to get the 6. I don't know if I'm going to get the 6 or the 6 Plus. And it really depends on if it'll fit in my pocket or not.
Yeah, go ahead. Great.
Let me tell you my thoughts on this. I've really liked Apple for their design. I mean, they have amazing looking phones. They look sleek.
Second
very
to none.
Thin, very nice looking.
Second to none on design, right?
Yeah, I admit gorgeous. The iPhone 6 is probably the nicest looking phone I've seen to date.
Yep,
but,
I agree.
I mean, I've jumped from phone to phone, and honestly, just the flexibility you have with Android, the fact that they have, you know, the navigation bar, I think Apple just came out with this, the status bar, and then the widgets, the apps you can download, you know, third-party apps you can download, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I
tell you,
I
think you're absolutely right. One of the things, and thanks for calling, one of the things that struck me, too, was watching that Apple phone thing, the video with Johnny Ives, and it was so beautiful. The video was so beautifully done. I was like, oh, wow, I think I want. Just the way, for instance, the wristbands moved and snapped in perfectly to the watch. And all. I mean, you're right. The design on the thing is something that's just par excellent.
And that's why a lot of people like it. And I read something where there was he remembered his father as a salesperson needing a really nice, flashy car because that's
you
the tools
the
of the trade.
Right, exactly.
It's impressive. And I think the iPhone is a lot like that.
Yeah, it could
And I don't necessarily carry it for that reason. I like the apps is what really turned me on to the iPhone to begin with. And there are some apps I can't get in Android.
Yeah, but
I don't want to give those apps.
Android certainly has matched it, I think, in terms of the apps. By the way, folks, our phone number is 800-859-0957. We got about 15 minutes left on this first hour of our program. We're going to have two other hours. And in the second hour, we're going to be talking about internet radio. And we're also going to be talking about Apple Pay. And I want to put that discussion aside because it is could be a huge game changer in terms of security and the way we go about buying things. Our number here, by the way, again, 800-859-0957. I see Ben is with us. Adrian, Ben, how are you doing?
How about you?
Well. So what do you think of all this fuss and furore around the Apple iPhone 6?
Absolutely not.
How could I have predicted that you would say that, Ben?
I bet you he still has a flip phone. I predict Ben still has a flip phone.
Hang on, Ben. I tell you what, we're going to put you on hold. We'll come back to you in just a few minutes. We want to.
Okay.
The folks here want to. Everybody wants to know if you still have a flip phone. Ben is a dear friend of ours from Jackson. He's been on the show with us before. Yeah. He is a farmer and also an incredibly technically involved and enlightened person who is well into his 80s. 800-859-0957. What do you think of the iPhone 6? Thank you for joining us for this first kind of bonus hour of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and also Mr. Ed Rudell in studio here. Got another 2 hours coming up. Next hour, we're going to be talking about internet radio, kind of a new phenomenon, and talk about that really interesting field that's developing there now with a lot of enterprising entrepreneurs who are gathering quite an audience internationally, as a matter of fact. And then we'll also be talking with Rick Dakin, who is an expert on security, about Apple Pay. This was one of the other things that was released, and the impact that they think is going to happen on the whole world of commerce and how we we buy and sell things, and it will increase the security there, or will it? We'll talk more about that coming up this next hour. And our third hour, of course, is when we open up the lines and you folks can call in with your questions about your computer. But right now, we're looking for, we got about 10 minutes left, we're looking for your thoughts on the iPhone 6. Is it something you're interested in? Why are you interested in it? If it's not, tell us why. Interesting. You know, it really isn't new in the sense of its size. So why are people all wound up about it? 800-859-0957 is the number. And now one person who is not wound up about it is Mr. Ben, who is with us. How you doing, Ben?
I'm here.
All right. Now, question. We all want to know, do you still have a flip phone?
Yes.
And you were right.
For somebody so tech savvy, Ben, I'm surprised. We're going to have to get you a smartphone here. You know, you can get
would you want it
for free.
Yeah, Ben, would you want a smartphone?
Pardon?
Would you want a smartphone?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I don't have time to look at the screen while I'm working.
I got you. Okay, so it'll be a distraction rather than a help.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. So what do you think of this iPhone 6 thing? I mean, is it much ado about nothing?
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what others think may be totally different.
But I think that's
maybe
true.
So it's a practical matter for you, right?
That's right.
Exactly. All right.
The phone I've got now will do internet and it will do text. Mm-hmm. I've got both of them blocked. if they can't talk to me... Talk.
Yeah.
So now, don't have any
now by the way,
now, what about your kids, Ben? My kids, they don't talk anymore. They like to text. So I have to really get them to, I said, don't text me, talk. Call me.
Well, so, my son tried to text me a couple times and he chewed me out for not accepting the text. And I told him, if you can't talk to me, you ain't got no business getting a hold of me.
So Ben, because you have come in and you've been on the show with us in prior years,
yeah.
I know the size of your hands, right? And your hands are like Foster's. I could put two of my hands in Foster's in your hand. But, you know, when I think about that big phone, the 5.5, yeah, 6 yeah. Plus, the good thing about it is they've got some technology called reachability that yeah. shrinks down everything that I need to touch, and I can actually do that with one hand. At least that's the rumor, right?
Yeah, that's supposedly in rumor. We should say, by the way, yeah, that maybe that will put it within people's reach. Maybe that will make the phone more usable. I think that's the question, whether yeah. we'll be able to do that.
To me, it wouldn't be useful because yeah. I can't work and look at the phone at the same
That's
time.
Exactly it. Drive and we should say, folks, for people who are listening, and Ben, by the way, thanks for being with us. Ben is a farmer. He is highly technical. He's got all sorts of technology in this space-age tractor with him at home.
Yeah, long before people started using the internet, he was on bulletin boards.
Don't think this is an Amish farmer who is out on the buggy, you know. Right. This is, no, Ben is high-tech at 80-some-odd years of age. Okay, let's go to Rod from Lansing. Rod, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Quickly, what's your thought on the iPhone 6? You interested in getting one?
I've already ordered it. It's supposed to be in Friday.
Oh, very cool. Right. So which one did you get?
I got the 6, I didn't like the looks of the 5.5 just for trying to put it in my back pocket. I don't think it fit.
Yeah, that was my concern, and I haven't ordered one for that reason. I'm not quite sure I want the bigger one. I love the battery life. I'd love a couple of the other things that you can do with it, but for the size, will it fit in my pocket?
Are you a current iPhone user?
Yes, I've had the 4S for about almost 3.5 years.
Okay.
And problem I ordered because the battery was dying on mine, and plus
yes.
I didn't get that... $200 upgrade, so it's a wash except for the upgrade fee.
And you know what, Ed, you had some information about when you go to directly to AT&T and Verizon, they'll buy the old phone back, won't they?
No, that was Foster.
Yeah. That's right. $300. You get a $300 credit when you go in. That's my understanding. If you go into the Apple Store or into Verizon, if those are your, and I think T-Mobile will do it too. $300. Is what you get back for your old phone.
Wow, nice.
It's $200 for the 4S, and it's $300 apparently for the 5.
The 5 and the 5S. Okay, good. Hey, thank you very much for that. It's confirming something that I thought was out there, which makes it an even better deal. Okay, Michael from Toledo, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Okay, you're back to tell us what?
Hi, can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yep. Go ahead.
I had some additional information
sure.
about the about the battery life of Apple products. You know, I used to have an old, you know, iPhone 4.
Right,
I had
right.
to get a new phone because I, you know, the first few weeks it was great. You know, battery life 100%
yep.
for about 3 days, and then I recharge.
Yep.
The thing about it is, though, the more I charged it, the lesser the battery life became, and it was drastic.
Yeah, so there may have been something wrong with the phone. There were a lot of problems with apps, runaway apps that would take and drain your mm-hmm. battery. But today they've got ways to deal with, you know, with cutting off
iOS 7 helped with some of that.
Right.
But what Michael is saying, I think, is true. Especially, I bought an iPhone 5. I was too cheap to go for the iPhone 5S, which has a fingerprint reader right. and has the M chip in it, which mm-hmm. is an extra chip. I have heard it said that people who use the 5S have gotten much better battery life because a lot of the processes that the one CPU was handling and the 5 is now split with two CPUs in the 5S, which means that it's more efficient, and therefore it works for a longer time. So, Mike, now it'll be very interesting to see, and this is a big question, about what the battery life will be like in these new iPhone 6s. That's a big, big deal because it's purporting to do a whole lot of stuff. And this is one of the things that happens with the kind of the distortion field around the Apple products in some ways is they look beautiful. Remember all the things that we're doing Apple Maps, but when they get their feet on the ground, sometimes they are not as pretty in their function.
Yeah, so the one big problem is you can't replace it, right? It's in
the battery. You're talking
batteries
yes,
in
exactly.
the phone. However, for the 6, they're talking about talk time of 14 hours
okay.
on 3G, and for the 6 Plus, they're 24 hours of talk time on 3G. Now, that goes to like video playback for the 6 is 11 hours. For video playback for the 6 Plus is 14 hours. Audio playback for the 6 is 50 hours, and for the Plus, it's 80 hours on one battery charge. So when you think about where they're going with new battery technology, plus because of the bigger footprint, they're able to put in a bigger battery, right? So that's going to give us more uptime. Standby times are up to 16 days, right? If you don't use a phone, you just got it turned on 16 days for the Plus.
But you
down
have,
to 10 days for
you,
the 6.
You have just described for me, and I don't know
now
about
that's
you.
That's purported. Yeah, that's what's on.
See, that's it. I am going to wait probably a good
week or two. If I could get half of
week
that,
or two.
I'm excited. Yep. If I could get half of
and,
what they say,
I want to
excited.
See. Go ahead.
One thing that no one's really mentioned is the larger size. Is it going to have a larger weight? You know, this is something you're going to have to carry.
Actually, no. People have talked about it, having it in their hands, say that the bigger one almost feels lighter than the smaller one.
Well, it's not, and I'll tell you the weight is 6 ounces, 6.07 ounces for the big one, 4.55 ounces
okay,
for the
so
second
it's
one.
Okay, so it's a third is, more for the big one.
And it's less than what you're carrying today in the other Apples.
There you
right?
go. There you go.
Because
hey, folks.
It's thinner.
A quick break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we're going to look into the subject of internet radio. And we have a gentleman in the studio. Also, Mike Brennan will be with us for his MI Tech News headlines. And we're going to be having an expert in to talk about Apple payments and whether this new software is really going to be changing the whole commercial world as we know it. Stay tuned for Hour 2. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Hello, this is Foster Brown, and welcome to hour number two of this special edition of the Internet Advisor. We got a great show. Got a studio full of people here. We'll be talking about internet radio with some enterprising young folks from the Henry Ford Academy School for Creative Studies who are running their own radio station there. We'll also be talking with Rick Dakin, who is a security expert, about just how secure Apple Payment is, the new one that's coming out with the new Apple phones, and whether it might even be transforming our whole way of consuming. Back with that in this second hour of the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor. That's right. We have a three-hour show today. So for some of you folks who are listening to us on our affiliates, we're just starting things here. And we've got 2 hours of great programming coming up. As I said, we're going to be talking about Internet radio with a group of bright young folks who are here. Also be talking with an expert about Apple payments and the impact that that could have on the whole commercial industry, period. Tremendous impact. But right now, let's introduce folks in studio. Let me start with Shane. I'm looking right across at him. Good to have you here, Shane Hamlin.
Hey, now. You know, now the show can start. I'm here. Finally here.
Shane is here. Mr. Ed Rudell is also in-house right now, and Gary Baker, too. So, Gary, it's going to be a good show today. It's exciting having these 3 hours. Had a lot of fun.
It is. You know, it's tough to lose Dean Kruskoff from the gardening show. You know,
yes.
we're into the non-planting part of the season, but we get to use his hours, so that's not so bad.
We're delighted to be able to be with you for this time right now, folks. And by the way, coming up in just a moment, we're going to be talking with Mr. Mike Brennan about the headlines from MI Tech News, and that is a service that you can get to find out more about by going down our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and clicking on that subscribe button, and you will be getting a whole bunch of headlines you won't see in other places about technology and entrepreneurship that are going on in our fair state of Michigan. As a matter of fact, here's the man himself, Mr. Mike Brennan, with all the headlines that are fit to read. Hiya, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Well, and thank you, and welcome from my new location in Ann Arbor. I moved out of West Michigan. Now I'm based in Ann Arbor to be right in the heart of what's going on in technology today.
Welcome to this side of the state, and let's start digging in with the headlines you've got here. One I think probably could have predicted would be here is that AT&T says that the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus are going to be going on sale September the 19th.
Yeah, and actually you can do a pre-order if you go online at the AT&T site. We have that information at the website, mitechnews.com, but they'll be available at the stores on September 19th. Zero down, you get a $300 trade-in value for your old iPhone.
Wow.
And right after I hit the send button, Verizon sent me the same thing, saying their pre-sale is going on now online, and they'll be available at Verizon stores also on September 19th.
Wow, and a $300 trade-in was something that I had not heard about. Hey, let's move on to another headline I saw here, and this is a big one because it impacts probably one of the cornerstones of architecture downtown and Detroit business for many years, and that's CompuWare is going to be splitting up.
Well, that's assuming, of course, that the deal goes through that was announced on September 2nd, where the company will be sold for $2.5 billion to a California private equity company. But assuming that does happen, then they're going to split the company into two. They're going to keep the mainframe as one company, and that will still be CompuWare. But then the application performance management side, which is really the heart of the company anymore, they're going to call Dynatrace.
Is that likely to stay in this area as well, or could that be moving, do you think, Mike?
Well, that's the big if. You know, I'm not a real optimistic, to tell you the truth. I've seen this happen over and over again. And
yeah.
If the investors aren't based in Michigan, and in this case they're in California, I mean, something will remain of CompuWare, but maybe it's just the mainframe business stays in Detroit and the rest of it goes to California. It's really hard to say. They're not saying right now either. So.
And they've been a big mainstay for Detroit for a long time as we've been moving along. And hopefully we'll be into the future of Detroit. We're talking with Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And you can receive that, these headlines, and many, many more, including some audio as well. Our podcast from our program, the MI Tech News you're listening to right now, audiobooks, all sorts of goodies come to you absolutely free. How, you say, can I get hold of that? Simply go to internetadvisor.net. Go to our homepage and then scale down a little bit. You'll see Mike's smiling face right next to a button that says subscribe here. You click on that. Give us your information, which is basically your email address, and the headlines are on your way. Free, absolutely free. You'll get information about the top headlines, the things that are going on around the state and the nation, entrepreneurial events, venture capital things that are coming up, the chances for you to network, all sorts of good things. Absolutely free. You want to make sure that you sign up for that today at internetadvisor.net. Mike, the last story I want to refer to here is one that's kind of neat because it's out of the ordinary in a sense. We talk about high tech, but this is something that is really going to be a boon to the Upper Peninsula. It's a little community up there called Escanaba.
Yes. Famous movie of Escanaba in the Moonlight that was done a number of years ago. This is actually a pure Michigan event, so part of the reason that we're covering it is it's good for the state. It's the Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year. They have, just like NASCAR, they have top anglers that do points every competition. So this one's only open to the top 50 anglers, and they're going to be competing for a purse of $900,000.
Wow. Money.
Now, the technology side of it is fishing fans can follow the tournament real time on the Bass website, and that's bassmaster.com. So if you don't want to be up in the UP, having a good time up there eating that lutefisk, then you can watch it on the internet. So.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time, and of course, the UP is beautiful this time of year as well. So it'll be another good reason to go up there. Well, folks, that's the breadth of the kind of news that you get with MI Tech News, and I hope that you will go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and subscribe today. Mike Brennan, have yourself a good week settling in to Ann Arbor.
Thanks very much, Foster.
That's Mr. Mike Brennan, and the MI Tech News headlines. Hope you enjoyed that. Mike is, as you heard, back in the Ann Arbor area, so he's going to be hobnobbing with Gary and all the other intelligentsia there. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be finding out about internet radio, something that is going on, matter of fact, not very far from our golden towers of the Fisher Building, which have been here, this radio station, for 80 plus some odd years. Well, there's something new growing out there called internet radio. We'll be talking with Joaquin Tatum and some of the other folks who are part of that in just a moment. We have an English teacher in studio, and I guess I should probably check and see where the statement comes of uneasy lies the crown. I think that comes from Shakespeare in any case.
She's shaking her head.
I'm teasing the English teacher who's here. What am I talking about? Well, we have got some folks in studio, some very special folks who are in studio, who are busy putting their track shoes on to run up right over our backs. Because with the internet radio, they're going to take over the world.
You know, I'll tell you what, they don't have all the constraints that we do with commercial radio. So, yeah. So we actually were contacted by Mary Grace Perrin, who is a teacher at the Henry Ford Academy School for Creative Studies, and it's part of the College for Creative Studies. In fact, they share a building that if you look out our window here in the studio, you can actually see their building. So it's very, very close. But she told me about this young man who is part of the school that has an internet radio show. And we'd like to welcome Joaquin Tatum to the show. Joaquin, welcome.
Thank you so much for being on with us here. Let's see, press that button there, see if it works. We're not getting any fire. Guys, we're not getting any firing on that microphone there. You might want to swing that microphone around. Swing around those two seats. There you go. Would leave it to come into the big city here, the radio station. Our buttons don't work. I like that. Joaquin, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Really.
And it is good for me for you to be here, too. Yeah, that's right. Now, you are, I'm our homepage. I said you were a founder, but you're not really the founder.
No.
Okay.
I'm not the founder. The founder is Jason Dixon.
Okay.
And that's of Urban?
Urban Nation Radio.
UrbanNationRadio.com. That's where they can find you.
Yes.
And you produce a show there.
Yep. I have a show called Venom Time. It's every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And you invited a couple friends to come in and listen to you, and we found out that one of the friends is James Wood, and he's your co-producer.
Yes, James Woods. He is my co-host and my friend since preschool.
Welcome, James. Welcome, James.
Will he allow you to share the mic? You have to fight him for it?
Oh, no. No, I don't.
You guys worked that out.
Well, whenever I have something to say, he's always good to hear it and listen.
That's cool.
Well, now, I will tell you that when Foster and his wife Jenny were actually co-hosts,
you tell that story again, aren't you?
I haven't told it on the air in a while, but when they were actually co-hosts together,
yes.
Jenny finally said, "All right, she's quitting because she couldn't get a word in edgewise." And
my wife learned the secret, and that is just to ride roughshod over it. And with radio, as you know, this dead air is a thing you don't want.
Never.
You never want to have dead air.
Keep things moving.
So tell us about your show. What is it? Okay. What it's about? What do you do? How do you keep it fresh?
Okay, so my show is kind of an extension from my YouTube channel. So my YouTube channel is Venom 2 Million, and on there I talk about video games, technology, movies. So it's kind of an extension of that. I bring that over to Urban Nation Radio, and it's live, and my audience now, it's more of a conversation that can be had I guess on a more personal level, because now it's not just reading comments. They can call in and we can have conversations, have full-blown conversations. So it's really just an extension of that. That's really the
James,
gist of the show.
When you talked about a YouTube channel, explain that to some of us old fogies. What is a YouTube channel?
A YouTube channel is like a video blog, if you would like to say. You have a certain amount. You can make as many videos you want on this website. Mm-hmm. And people can watch them, view them, subscribe to you if they like your content.
So you post your content to YouTube.
Yes. YouTube.
And you can actually create a channel for yourself right?
You need a channel to post content on
there. Okay.
And a lot of people, they make a living off of YouTube. Once you reach a certain level, you can begin getting paid. I get paid for my YouTube.
This is whole new media, folks. Yeah. And the reason we wanted to have you guys in is because this is this whole new media that's going on. It used to be that stations like WJR, where we're at right now, the great voice of the Great Lakes, I mean, that was it. When you got here, you were at the top of the heap. And when I got here, like 1995, that's what I thought I'd gotten to. Suddenly everything sank, and all the field became level. Because starting about 2000, a little bit before that, with the internet, you folks could get on Urban Nation Radio, and suddenly you were as big a voice as we were with WJR. Not necessarily out here in, if you will, the geographic area that we're in, but there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, up to millions of people who can listen to you on the radio.
That's true.
Do you know how many people are listening to you?
I don't know the exact number, but I do know that I've had numbers as high as, I believe, 10,000 people listening at once to my show on Urban Nation.
Isn't that something?
That's yes, amazing. And my YouTube has been even bigger. I've just crossed over the 2 million view mark. So I'm growing exponentially on there as well.
So that's pretty amazing. Now, we couldn't take advantage of that because you and I, we have a face for radio. Video is where it's all going, right?
Now, tell me about the radio station, though. Essentially, you just kind of create your own, you get a website and you create your own presence on the internet. Is that it?
So exactly. I'll tell you how I got involved with Urban Nation. So at Henry Ford Academy, School for Creative Studies, there's a process that all students need to go through to graduate. It's called the Senior Mastery Process. And in that process is something called practicum, senior practicum. And it's basically, in layman's terms, an internship. You need to have an internship at some place that revolves around what you want to do as a career. So I want to be an actor and screenwriter. I was talking to my teacher, and she gave me the information, the phone number to Jason Dixon, who is the founder of Urban Nation Radio. I was talking to him, came in within, I was there for a week. Within a week, I got bumped up to producer, which was something like second in command. Yeah. And I worked behind the scenes with getting the website ready and getting us ready to launch.
I got you.
Essentially how it was, we had the website was already laid out. Jason had hired some internet developers to produce the website before me, before I got there. But I was fine tuning things, and I was the one that clicked launch on the site.
I got you. That's really cool.
So you were close to a founder then.
Well. Okay.
So the way this internet radio thing works then is actually you bring audience from different places to it.
Yes. So you use social media, try to get the word out about it.
Because it's kind of like the movie Field of Dreams, where if you build it, they will come. Isn't necessarily true. Because if you build it, they won't even know you're there.
Yeah, they won't. How do they? Because especially with what you were saying, the playing field being so even, so anybody can do it.
Absolutely.
So it's so many different avenues and so many different people to look at. It's hard to focus in on one thing.
You got one of your teachers here, Mary Grace Paris. Thank you very much for joining us. Is there some oversight? Mary Grace, just put you on the microphone here quickly. Is there oversight from the teachers on the students in terms of how they present themselves, etc.?
Oh, absolutely. Part of the mastery process is at the end of their senior year, they have to present what they had done during their internship, and they are interviewed by not only teachers but community members.
I got to tell you, I thank you for that, because one of the things that bugs me about a lot of internet radio, quote-unquote radio, and I put quote-unquote in there, is that it is an excuse for a tremendous amount of foul-mouthed, self-absorbed babbling.
Right.
And I was listening to another station that was like, it was like a catalog of a scatology. It's just one foul thing after the other. and screaming at the top of their voices as if this is interesting.
Yeah,
no, it's like a 5-year-old having a tantrum, and I'm supposed to listen to this?
So they're not very well trained, right?
Well, that's
like
exactly
you are
it.
And whatnot. But I'm curious, because typically in the practicum, you almost have like an internship, right?
Right.
You're actually out raising. I mean, you're making money based on your talent.
So
this is kind of amazing. I don't know how many people do this, but this has got to be a kind of a game changer coming from a school setting to maybe something you're going to do for quite a ways into your professional career, right?
So one of the things with the senior senior practicum is you can't get paid. So I'm not getting paid for Urban Nation Radio, even though I'm now out of senior practicum, but I still do it. So I'm not getting paid from that. I'm getting paid from YouTube.
From YouTube, okay.
Right. But with
I've never been paid for YouTube. I'd love to be paid by YouTube.
But with Urban Nation Radio, like he was talking about how the foul mouth, that we do have guidelines. And for me, especially me, I have a reputation for myself, and I want my reputation to be as high as it possibly can be. So
that,
that's
wonderful.
So glad you had that class element. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk with you a little bit more about that, and then we've got an expert on to talk about Apple payments and a really big thing. Rick Dakin will be with us to talk about that in just a moment, as well as we continue for just a little bit longer talking about internet radio with Keaton Tatum, James Woods, and a whole bunch of other people. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be hearing from Rick Dakin, who is the CEO and Chief Security Strategist of Coalfire, about its IT security firm, about Apple Payments, which could be revolutionary or maybe just another NFC trick in the bag. But we'll find out more about that from him in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I wanted to wrap up things with Yakim Tatum, James Woods, who are co-hosts of a show on Urban Nation Radio. By the way, you can find them at urbannationradio.com or go to internetadvisor.net and click on our home screen about that. Shane Hamlin's in studio with us. And Shane, you had some questions about some of the practical aspects of this
as well. Yeah, I mean, they share some radio time with some big guys there, Steve Harvey and... Right? They're part of Radio Nation, right? No, Urban?
It's not. Hang on a second. Let's see if that microphone is working on. Go ahead, Jim.
This is not.
Swing over to the other radio.
Sorry.
Still down.
Welcome to Big Time Radio.
So, we're not with Urban Radio Nation.
Okay.
That's a completely different entity. We're gotcha. Urban Nation Radio. So we're something that's born and started in Detroit.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this. When you do your show, where are your studios at?
Our studio is on Woodward, okay. Right across from Palmer Park.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a right now. We're about 18 weeks in, so we're fairly new. Mm-hmm. We're in an office space right now.
Gotcha.
You're 18 weeks in, and you got 10,000 people listening to you live.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Oh, the radio station would kill for that. What are you planning on doing with this, guys? James, go ahead, James.
I think that's thanks to YouTube, mostly.
Well, that's true. And, it's a lot like that now with spiral marketing, where you can be a YouTube channel. You can be a channel on internet radio through Urban Nation Radio, right? You could take and blog, right? And it keeps going. You keep marketing the next, it's kind of called spiral marketing, where you're constantly marketing. We had IT and the D in, and those guys did the same thing.
Yep, right? Exactly.
So, Yakim, you've helped me in a number of ways, open my eyes to some things around internet radio, but I do have to thank you. I'm now going to go out and buy the iPhone 6 Plus because you have a phone that's almost exactly the same. In some respects, they're just catching up to some of the Android phones, right?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You just let me take and put your phone in my pocket, and it's about the same size as the Plus. It's a 5.7 instead of 5.5.
It's 0.2 inches bigger.
It works. I can do it. I can go buy it now. Thank you.
Yakim, I want to thank you for being here with us, along with James Wood, your co-host. And folks, again, you go to internetadvisor.net and scroll down the screen. You can click on the logo for Urban Nation Radio and find out more about it there. Mary Grace Paris, thank you very much for the teacher who has been in here. And Taharka Iyi, who has also been here with us, friend of the guys who are here. Thanks so much for coming, and the best to you on this. I'm excited to hear how
this goes. Back?
Yes.
And, and tell us how it's going?
Yeah.
You're 18 weeks in. We want to hear when you're about 38 weeks in.
We'll check what your grades are then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We got your teacher here, too.
If we do come back, I'll try to get here earlier.
Oh, that's right. Good, right. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it so much. Well, one of the things that happened this week, along with the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus that we've been talking about, and the Apple Watch, was something else. It was not a device, but it was a process, and that was what was called Apple Payment. And with us right now is Rick Dakin, who is the CEO and Chief Security Strategist of Coalfire, which is an IT data security firm. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon. Happy to be with you.
Delighted to have you here. Rick, let's start out, if you would please, to help our audience get some idea of what is the Apple payment system?
Yeah, the Apple payment system actually has two pieces, and those pieces will be rolled out in two phases. The piece that the customer is going to see first is yet another wallet. As you've probably discussed on previous shows, whether it's an ISIS wallet or a Google wallet or the early Microsoft wallets, it's another place for you to store a credit card and then to transmit it through, in this case, NFC, and there's been other technology. So that part of the announcement is relatively uninteresting.
By the way, NFC for audience, near field communication. It allows you to literally tap or to be inches from a device that will read the information on your phone and will then credit your account.
Yeah, and we were talking early on about how we do micropayments, and you could do it on the phone, and it just never took off. And while Google Android phones have had this capability for a while, Rick, you know, maybe with the iPhone and having the capability on the iPhone, you know, just like so many things on the iPhone, they're not new; they're just perfected. Is that what you're seeing here?
Yeah. Phase one, you're absolutely correct. Another NFC wallet using a, quote, secure element that nobody has tested yet. So you keep secure element as a marketing claim and not a proven technology. So that's the first warning to the audience.
But thank you.
It's the back end that's going to be revolutionary. And Apple's not going it alone. With the recent breaches at Home Depot, Target, we're more than mildly aware of what's not working well. We do a little over 400 of these credit card audits at major retailers every year. We're the number two auditor, so once they get hacked, we're the number one place companies go to recertify their systems and go back online.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And take credit cards. So it's an environment that we're very, very familiar with, and it's going back to the days of Willie Sutton, when he said, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Why do you go to the point of sale at a merchant? Because that's where the credit card numbers are.
Absolutely.
And with the new technology, Apple has been working with the card brands to develop a token exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So when you register your phone, you will get an electronic let me keep this where it's publicly available. I can't go into the non-publicly released part of it yet.
Gotcha.
But you will get back a token that is different than your card number. So if somebody, like a merchant, were to lose your token, it doesn't matter because your card number is going to be kept in a vault managed by what's called acquiring banks, or the back-end approving part of a transfer. And so those acquiring banks would have the same cryptographic algorithm on their back-end so that when you identify yourself, they'll go to your, let's call it the virtual safe deposit box, take out your credit card, make a transaction, and then give you an authentication code on the way back.
Now, Rick,
so neither the consumer or the merchant will see your personal identification.
The token you mentioned is that when I come to a transaction, let's say I'm at a Micro Center buying something for my computer, and what'll happen is that my bank, or let's say Visa, will send Micro Center then a token, which is actually a string of numbers. Is that right?
It is. Matter of fact, the thing that makes it work without a major uplift, why I think it's going to work this time, it's the same format and size number that's in your primary account number on your credit card.
Ah, but it's totally, the tokens are totally unique, am I right?
Correct. So each token is only good for one transaction.
Yep. Okay. So I would like to you know, make a request by for the to the credit card companies. You know, I don't mind if somebody steals my credit card number if they want to pay off my my balance. So yeah. I'd like to leave them that open if somebody wants to do that, just not charge anything else on my credit card.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I think that was the hope of everybody that had their credit cards compromised, that they would get issued a new card with zero balance.
Yeah exactly.
Now, that doesn't work.
What's happened is essentially, Rick, is that the whole notion of that magnetic strip and you know, that information being on my card, that has to go away.
Yeah.
That has to go away. It can't stick around because somebody can steal that kind of thing and then has access to whatever I have in my account, which is not much.
So in all that logic, there's two myths and one fact. And you know, this is where the consumers really get confused. One, a magnetic stripe or a chip-to-chip communication has the same level of security. They're no different.
Right.
Whether you have a chip communicating a number that gets read by a chip on the other side in clear text, preparing authorization requests in clear text, to a bank that only accepts clear text requests, it's insecure whether you're chip and pin or your Mac Stripe.
And what you're referring to, pardon me, what you're referring to with that chip and pin is, like, for instance, when I was in Canada, that's now the rule there, that you have to have a chip in your credit card.
That's right.
You're saying, essentially, that's no more secure than the magnetic stripe was.
Correct. It is absolutely no more secure.
Unless you're secure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, Rick Dake is going to continue. We've got two myths about the whole credit card business, and one fact that we're going to find out about as we continue to talk about the new Apple payment system and this whole token-based payment system as we come back in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. Thank you for joining us here. By the way, thank you to the folks behind the glass, as I say, Mike Stetz and Rich Lusensky and Andy Nichols, who have been helping us produce our program. We have one more hour coming up, and that will be the one in which you set the agenda with your questions, your concerns at 800-859-0957. In studio with right now, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin, and we're talking with Rick Dakin, who is a CEO and Chief Security Strategist for Coalfire, which is an IT data security firm. And Rick, thank you very much for being with us, Rick.
No problem.
Initially, you talked about there are two parts. We've been talking about Apple Payment, and as it was presented on the stage on Monday, I think it was, yes, Monday this past week, this is going to be like a totally secure magic wand. I'll be able to take my iPhone 6, or the watch for that matter, and just tap it on this device through the NFC, and Shazam, there will be an absolutely secure transaction that takes place there. The bad guys have nowhere to get in.
No, but I don't think anybody's ever said that, Foster.
I'm oversimplifying, obviously.
Well, and not correct. Nobody's ever said that.
Is this inherently, this system that the Apple's proposing with this token-based, you described, and it may be a little technical, folks, but is it more secure than what we have right now and less vulnerable than the systems we have right now?
Yes. Through encryption and tokenization, in the world of cybersecurity, we call that reducing the attack surface.
Okay.
And where there's very strong encryption or de-identification, even if there's bad guys who are living on your phones and living on the networks, they just can't see the transaction because it's either been de-identified or encrypted. So in theory, yes, you have dramatically reduced the attack surface, where the attack surface no longer includes the merchants. So right now, the merchants are victims, just like the people who present their credit cards and get them stolen. Mm-hmm. The people who have control of that are obviously the card brands to develop a more secure system. This is a dramatically more secure system.
Ed, I think you have something, a question?
Well, I was, for some reason, I had the date of 2017 in my mind, and wasn't that the year that we're supposed to be pushing out the chip and pin in the U.S.? There's some sort of deadline?
Yeah, that's the final stage of the chip and pin, and you'll see by Christmas this year, over 50% of all merchants will be taking chip and pin transactions, and you'll see 75% by the 4th of July, 2015. The hard part is only 10% of consumers in the United States have a chip-enabled card.
Right.
And yep. So chip and PIN is probably 2016, 2017, more because of card issuance than merchant readiness.
Yeah, I had a very difficult time finding cards for my daughter when she was going overseas for an internship on that. So the expense for chip and PIN, have the vendors that actually distribute that, because the actual people that own the stores have to purchase the machines to
read
them.
New point of sale machines.
Yeah, new point, the POS machines. So do those also support near-field communications, or is it like they're going to have to
invest? Is there another machine coming out they've got to buy?
Yet again, yes.
Yeah, and this is where the merchants are obviously very frustrated. No, near-field communication and doing a chip and PIN transaction are not synonymous right now.
Right.
So there may be a merchant that says, I just upgraded to be able to take my chip or EMV chip, and now I have to put NFC in place in order to do, you know, basically what this is going to be is a point-to-point encryption.
Right. Now, Rick,
no one's going to
the problem of
the
So typically what drives adoption in a market like this is regulation. Are we going to see regulation through how they would do this would be PCI, but payment card Do you see that that's how this is going to be adopted by the retailers?
Yeah, and it's basically monopoly instead of regulation, but it's the same thing. You know, there's only a few card brands, and the card systems are going to force the issue.
So the card systems are the ones that are going to make it happen. I had heard that with Apple Payments, that there's no cost that's borne by the consumer or by the merchant, but that the cost is at the card, and between the card and Apple. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
The consumer, as long as they get a phone that's enabled with this new technology, because when you register the phone, here's the scary part, the fact that I was going to get to with the two myths that we talked about earlier, is the ground is moving beneath our feet. There is a revolution going on mobile payments that starts with Apple Pay, and I want to talk to you about a couple other things that your consumers are not aware of, that they're going to feel a little creepy once they find out what the merchants are doing. But on the actual payment system, the consumer is going to, one, have to buy a phone that's enabled.
Okay.
Then they're going to have to register with a card brand, and so this is a form of locking the card brand into the consumer.
Oh.
And so
that'd be like Visa or MasterCard or
American Express.
Express, something like that.
No different than what happens today, right?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And,
right. I choose
PayPal,
Visa. You're right.
Amazon, other places get into the payment stream as well.
Okay.
This will lock the card brands in because you're going to use your biometrics to register with your card brand. So when they pull your wallet out of the vault, you have used biometrics and personally identifiable information.
Now, that means fingerprints right now. That means fingerprints right now, right?
Or facial recognition.
Or facial recognition or retina or whatever, or iris or whatever. Okay. So basically, it's going to be on us as the consumers to buy phones with these capabilities.
Yeah.
And new iPhones come out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the cost at the merchant side is they're now going to have to buy systems that, one, can communicate with your mobile phone either through NFC or, better yet, through the Internet.
Mm.
So if the point-of-sale system's on the Internet and your phone's on the Internet, you hit a button that goes to the Internet down to the point-of-sale system. So there'll be multiple routes getting paid.
But the merchants, as we were talking about before, they've got to buy into it.
Yes, and they have to upgrade their systems to handle those communications.
Okay. But as Ed was just saying, they have been forced to upgrade, or they're being pushed to upgrade to the chip and PIN. And now we got something else coming in. Is this a tug of war then between those two?
No, in actuality, the chip and PIN gets you halfway there, because if you can read a chip to a chip, you're halfway there, and now you have to read the NFC and be able to process a secure token. So once the total point of sale system is set up to be completely digital, chip to chip enabled, And that's why we're going to see the chip and PIN roll out, less for chip and PIN's sake, more for enabling this new token exchange in the future.
Okay. Ed, you know, I was going to say, this sounds really good to me. That means credit card companies...
You're off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say credit card companies can charge me less interest because they won't have to pay for as many fraudulent purchases, and I'm being completely facetious on this. I'm not going to save any money on this in the future except for the, you know, they're going to absorb and save that cost, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, you're not paying anything for it now, and you're not going to pay anything for it.
I am in high interest rates.
Yeah, so let's talk about direct payment and indirect payment.
Okay, let's do it quickly because we're almost out of time, but I'm going to make sure you get your points made. Go ahead, Rick. Oh, ah!
So the first thing you do when you walk into a store, check and see if there's little blue dots on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If they are, you are being tracked in the store. Some yet nice young sales clerk is going to come up to you one day and say, would you like to buy that in the store or would you like me to drop ship it? The payments are going to be integrated to your profile, so you will be paying an indirect cost.
Rick,
you're giving up your privacy to be force-fed product.
Can you hang on the phone? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if we can continue the conversation offline and then offer it to our listeners as a bonus feature. So hang on just a second. We'll come back. And for the rest of you folks, stick around because we've got a call-in that is now based on you at 800-859-0957. You call us with your problems and concerns, and we'll get our team here working on solving them. Please stay tuned for hour number 3 of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
It's your turn. That's what we say in this hour of the Internet Advisor. Your turn to set the program. You do that by calling us at 800-859-0957 and asking a question about your computer. Could be about your experience on the Internet or something that's happening to your computer right now. And as we say, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and yours truly, Foster Brown, waiting to help you. Welcome to the Internet Advisor and to our part of the program where you are the most important part of the conversation. And that only happens if you give us a call. And our phone lines are wide open right now. Our lady of the phones, Annie Nichols, is waiting to take your call and get you ready to come on the air with us. Mike Stess behind the board, thank you very much. Rich Luzinski as well. And in the studio here, we've got the techs. We've got Shane Hamler with us. And Shane, good having you along with us today. Shane has his own tech shop that he works at out in Sterling Heights. So he has the experience of dealing with the consumer every day.
I do.
Glad to have you with us. Also, Mr. Eddie Riddell. And Ed, your experience has been working with corporations and GM right now.
Right. Yep. And, you know, I do not distinguish between what I put on my workbench. So one day I'll have a lawnmower, then I'll have a laptop.
He has been a tinkerer for a long time.
That's not quite true.
And screwdrivers are a different size.
Mr. Gary Baker is also with us, and Gary has got a long-time experience, both as somebody who has owned, started his own ISP, and matter of fact, that's how we first met, was by meeting over my questions on the ISP and making that work.
And online tech just celebrated its 20th anniversary.
Wow.
We had them on, if you recall, a few months ago, and it was the very first internet provider for business in Michigan. And, you know, Richard Steenen, who we both know, was one of my first competitors.
Right. Rustnet.
A few months after we started, about 6 months after we started, they started. And none of those companies exist any longer. Any of those, except for Online Tech, who just celebrated the 23rd.
Yeah.
So, and 5 big data centers.
Let's go right away to our phone calls because we've got folks standing by here who are waiting to get on the air and ask their questions. And let's get to it with Judy from Franklin. Judy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Just wondering if I could get your opinion. I have a 2008
Dell laptop whose hard drive died, and they've had it since Wednesday, and now they're saying that they can't get it to, they replaced the hard drive, and, you know, all the downloads needed or updates and stuff were, they've done a lot of that, but they haven't been able to get the thing to pick up the Wi-Fi internet, you know, the connection.
It won't make a Wi-Fi connection, huh?
Right, and I wonder, would you think that if they fail, that, you know, at all of this after having it for days, in case they don't succeed, do you think I should bring it to, is it Shane that has
Yeah, Shane Hamlet's here, yeah, you certainly can bring it out to Sterling Heights to his place.
He could express an opinion whether or not it should be having this trouble, or...
Yeah, the question, Shane, is that this is a Dell laptop, I believe, right?
Right.
2008. They felt that the hard drive had died. They replaced it, but they're having trouble connecting to the internet. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. So what your question was then, what? That they should take it into a shop, or?
They already did. All the operating system disks, and they've been working on it, you know, with all that they needed from me since Wednesday. This is the last thing this is the last thing they can't seem to get to work.
Okay, so the last thing is the wireless, right? I think, Shane.
Exactly.
Okay, that's the last thing that they can't get to work. All right.
Did they say they tried to replace the wireless car too? Do you know?
Oh no, they did not say that they replaced it.
Yeah, so maybe that needs to be replaced also. I don't know why everything seemed to be going wrong all at the same time.
Yeah.
It could be a power surge, could be other things. Shane, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the weather has been nasty lately. You know, we've had a lot of active weather.
Yeah.
And
I know that when I get brownouts, boy, I'm pulling cords and cables and trying to turn as much off as I can,
because
it's not the power going up and down, it's the brownouts.
Correct. Yes, as a matter of fact, I talked to somebody today who lost their utilities because it browned out.
And I've had that quite a bit this last couple weeks.
So it might be a power supply then?
It could be the power issue. It could have been the power issue that took out, say, the card, the wireless card or the network card. That happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only true way to know would be to run a diagnostic and have a professional look at it.
Yeah, get in a bench. Now, you had that done. Where did they take the laptop, the Dell?
Where did I go? No, I went to where I bought it. It was
Best. You said Best Buy?
Yes.
Okay, so you took it to them. I would suggest that, because from what I understand, very often, the stuff that's at Best Buy, their techs will actually ship it out to somebody else to look at it. That's one of the things I heard.
Oh, no, it's there. I have visited it.
Oh, okay. you visited it. I love it.
And did you have separation anxiety, you know, when you kind of had to leave it again?
Concerned about it.
Oh, I dear. Well, I could suggest that, you know, somebody like Shane and his shop... very often the local shops are the best place to go in order to be able to get somebody
This is a driver, software or hardware,
yep.
Right? It's one or the other.
It's one or the other.
And it could be either, affected by brownouts, but the driver's really easy to replace. You take and uninstall the driver and let it find itself again.
Reestablish itself,
right.
Yep.
I think it might be a hardware problem.
It could be.
I mean, only because you would have thought they would have tried the software problem first.
It does sound like this is something that needs to be taken into a shop. And personally, I would suggest you go to a shop you trust.
I just asked Best Buy to change it out and see if that works.
Oh, right.
There you go. That's another thing you can do as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang
on just a second. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown with you here, along with Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin, answering your questions at 800-859-0957. We've been taking care of some things behind the scenes with Judy. Let's continue our conversation with Jerry from Hudson. Am I right, Jerry?
Yes. I have a Toshiba that... apparently, the hard drive has to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way of getting, that's number one, is there any way of getting the data off of that?
Sure, there's an easy way to do that. Depends on, I guess, handy you are.
Well, does your existing hard drive, does it work at all now?
No, not at all. I took it to a shop, and they said it's shot, and it's going to cost me almost as much to replace it as a computer cost originally.
No, that's a shame, well, because it shouldn't cost that much.
Not to replace the hard drive, certainly, but to maybe get the information off of the existing drive, there might be some things that they might have to do that... get that off, you'd need some special tools. He can't just take and write it off himself, can he?
No, I mean, it goes into, you start getting into data recovery at that point.
Right.
It all depends on what's wrong with the hard drive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it's just a couple bad sectors on a hard drive, most times you can just clone that hard drive.
And you just did that this weekend, didn't you?
That's exactly what I just did for one of our friends, close family friends. A couple bad sectors, I was able to clone it to another unit.
Sounds.
And Windows was bootable. The manufacturer's restoration partition was there, just like Shane was saying.
Yeah.
And the only thing maybe I lost was probably some application. I lost a help file or some DLL. I mean,
so how do you clone a dead hard drive?
Well, just so you can't. So do you know, Jerry, if it's spinning at all?
No, I don't know that. They just said that they couldn't get it. And it's a part of a group that has five shops down in Toledo that I took it to, and they said they couldn't do it. They couldn't get it, anything off of it.
Yeah. I mean, if they say they can't, if it's a dead, trust me, if they could fix it, they would.
Yeah, yep, of course.
I mean, if it's a dead drive, it's a dead drive. That's usually meaning the mechanics inside of it aren't spinning
okay.
up.
Okay, that's
so there's
then,
a couple different things they could do, but you're talking about data recovery. They'd
at
have to
point.
Take it somewhere. They'd have to pull the drive apart, maybe take those platters, maybe seat them somewhere else.
Yep, in a clean room. Mm-hmm.
And, you can't do it yourself,
No.
But they could take and maybe put those platters into some other device, another hard drive, and maybe pull some disks, pull some of the data off. What's on your hard drive that you have to have, Jerry?
Well, it's mostly email and documents that I've created.
And are those backed up somewhere?
Word processing. Most of it is backed up, but some of it isn't.
Yeah.
So, of the stuff that isn't, is it critical?
I'd like to have it, yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. You'd like to have it, but...
So, I'm going to ask you, is it
give
worth...
Give the price tag.
Is it worth $400 to you?
Oh, no.
So, that's just it. If you're going to recover data off of a hard drive, Cal has given us some estimates before, but I think you would know, don't you, guys? About how much it costs?
It depends, but...
It starts at $500, usually.
Usually $500. Oh. Okay, I used last year's prices.
Yeah. And even a few years ago, you could pay up to $9,000 for 3 gigabyte. I mean, it was just outrageous.
Lord.
But that was a few years ago. Prices are dropping.
Prices have come down, and there's different techniques.
But still, you really
today,
need to know you want to get that stuff. And certainly for some businesses or individuals, you've got some critical information there. Then
that's why backing up is so important.
Oh, yes. So very, very important, Jerry. So I hope that is also for you another reason to look into the offline backups, things like Crash Plan or... all the other ones are out there.
iCloud has just reduced their prices.
Yes, I know.
The first 5 gig are still free, but a 20 gig space is 99 cents a month.
And Hotmail is offering
$0.99
I should say Microsoft is offering a terabyte.
Correct.
If you're an Office 365 user,
that's free.
So that's free. So basically, the folks out there, there's no reason not to do this. And Jared, sorry about what's happened to you, but I hope that you can find a solution
Shane,
to
go
that.
Ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, you said it's free if you're a subscriber to 365.
Yes, to Office 365.
If you do the math, a terabyte of if you do the math, it costs you $5 a month to become a subscriber for the full Office suite now. And that includes a terabyte. You can't get that anywhere.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
It's
well,
wonderful.
And I pay $99 a year.
Yeah,
I do too.
For five of us.
Yeah.
Right?
It's insane. It's great.
And I've already sent two of my college, matter of fact, they're at Michigan State University, sent two of our new freshmen up there. Both have gotten one of my subscriptions to Office 365. They have the full Office suite that is downloaded to their machines
Full email capability.
Everything. And as a matter of fact, I think that Office 365 makes its best case when it's like that, when it's a big family kind of thing.
And if you're a student, it's what, $2 a month?
Yeah.
No, it is. It's $2 a month.
It's real.
Yeah,
cheap.
You can get the, what is it, 79, 60, what is it for a year?
But that's a personal, but a student's a lot less.
Oh,
it's $2
okay.
a month for a
it's
student.
Like, wow.
Or faculty at a school.
Right.
It's that cheap.
Wow.
And you get the terabyte still.
Yeah, and you still get the terabyte as well. Yeah. By the way, those grandchildren, they also get the terabyte. Mm-hmm. And they don't pay anything. No, it's on my
bill.
Okay,
so I have a personal question about that. Mm-hmm. So if you're a student and you buy a single license for the student that's much cheaper, how many licenses come with that?
I don't think anything comes with it except that one license.
Yeah. Well, then it'd be better off to get, like Gary said, five for one for the entire family.
If you can use the other four.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm giving it away.
Yeah. So, no, if you've got, I get five. And, you know, I still, there's only four of us in the family. If somebody wants me to adopt them, send me an email afterwards.
That's the best deal. John from Southfield, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. I've got an iPhone 4S, and ever since I upgraded to iOS 7 about maybe a year, 18 months ago.
Yeah, about a year ago. Mm-hmm.
I delete voicemails, and about 3 minutes later, they come back. So I'll delete them from the phone, and then 3 or 4 minutes later, I'll get an alert.
Then you have a voicemail.
It sounds like Sprint. Voicemail. Are you a Sprint user, Verizon?
I'm AT&T.
I've heard of that on Sprint.
So it sounds...
Well, it's happening with all three of the carriers. I went to the Genius Bar... at the Apple Store, they said, you know, a year ago, they said, we're aware of the problem, we're working on a fix. And, you know, I've been calling Apple every few months, and they're now saying, well, it's a problem with AT&T.
I would have thought it was the carrier.
I would have thought it's a carrier, too. But if it's happening with all three carriers, the commonality is the phone,
yeah, that's
right?
That's bizarre.
I actually have a question, and it's an either-or question, I think, at this point, and that is, do you want to upgrade to the 6 or 6 Plus?
I don't know yet. I told Apple, I said, you know, look, I love your products. I really drank the Kool-Aid. I bought iPads. I bought MacBook Pro. But the problem is if the phone does all this stuff, but you can't use the visual voicemail, it doesn't help.
Well, I think, now what Gary had said before was if all three of the providers that you tried, AT&T, what did you say, Sprint, and another one there, if all of them have the same problem with visual voicemail, then it probably is something within the phone.
Well,
I would
at least
guess
you would start to look for the common.
Yeah, exactly. That's the common factor. Now, by the way, this is for the. We said this in an earlier part of our show, much earlier, a couple hours ago. If you're going to go into the AT&T or Verizon store or T-Mobile, you can now get $300 back for an iPhone. $200 back for an iPhone 4, 4S, and for an iPhone 5 or 5S, you can get $300 back when you go in to sign up for the new phone. So,
well, that may make me... Let me ask you this. From my small understanding of what goes on, if I have a voicemail on my phone, even if I shut the... if I go into airplane mode, for example, I can still listen to that voicemail because it's physically stored on the phone. So then if I delete it from the phone, it seems like the phone should... tell the server, hey, message A is now deleted.
Yeah.
And what I think is happening is I delete the message from the phone. It's not telling the server it's deleted. And when it checks the server, it says, hey, you got a voicemail you never listened to.
Couple things I would try just before you go out and buy a new phone, try a hard reset where you hold
that. I did that.
You did that. Yeah. Okay. Then I would say then it does sound like it's in the phone system itself.
And you'll still get $200 for your phone, even though it's maybe not working perfectly.
All right. 800-859-0957. Back and talking with a couple of folks here. I want to thank my co-hosts for being here in the studio and for hanging on for a great program. By the way, we've got another 20 minutes for you to ask your question.
That's right.
And the number is 800-859-0957. That's 859-0957. It's an 800 number.
I think we have a course of action for Judy. We've been talking to her off the air a couple times now in between the breaks. So she's got a course of action. She's going to go back and ask a couple more questions. And
excellent.
Then obviously the answer to the third one is the third question is the tough one because then that means buying a new computer. Mm. The good thing is, have you checked out some of the computer prices? I'm amazed.
Shane, you should be familiar with that. Selling them all the time.
I know, Shane. I don't know what you're charging and at your company, but I just saw Micro Center, and they've got some new ones that are very cheap today. Yeah. Less than $300.
Yeah.
refurbished ones, and they stand behind them for 90 days. And, well, even after that, if you come in and it's obviously something that they should have caught, they'll take and deal with it appropriately. I've been very impressed with them as well. So, and they have some refurbished ones under 150.
And I think Shane had was talking about that a little earlier. You were saying that sales appear to be down in general
for laptops. Yeah, for this back to school season.
Really?
Yeah, they seem to be down.
So maybe there's even more better sales out there, maybe, to move the merchandise?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, and it's not a matter of them not coming in. They're still coming in for things, but it's not like they were, back, 2 years ago when we'd put a laptop on sale and 100 people would walk in the door wanting that laptop for $200.
Wow.
I mean, now they're looking for tablets and Windows tablets and Android tablets and those kind of things.
I know of a lot of people. My son's school went completely iPad,
mm-hmm.
right? And they don't carry books anymore. But not only can they get their books on the iPad, but they can get a lot more of information that they couldn't really assign before. But so I think a lot of schools are starting to move in that direction.
Ron, Shane, what would you say if 350 is a good number to pick out of your hat for a Windows 8, 13-inch to 15-inch laptop?
That seems a little cheap. Do you think?
$350, $399. I mean, that's not going to...
An i3?
Yeah.
Core i3.
It's not going to be, a...
monster machine.
It's not going to be the Lenovo or an Ultrabook or anything like that. I mean, it's going to be an Acer or an Asus or, something like that.
I saw an i5 for less than $200.
Yeah, I mean...
Right? Wow. You don't get i7s for that, but it's... $300. Right?
When we talk, i3, i5, i7.
Those are processors.
Those are processors, and as you go up in number, you're also going up in speed and strength of what they can do.
And it's that, and it's hard drive, and it's amount of RAM.
But I will say this.
Which are all drivers of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anything, you pay for what you get.
Yep.
I mean, this is when you're dealing with a cost-driven laptop, a retail laptop that is all about cost. It's not mm-hmm. about quality at that point. It's about cost.
Yep.
When you go and you dig into it and you look at it, okay, now it's got a Hitachi off-brand, a cheap hard drive in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a Western Digital. Those things matter. It's got plastic hinges, cheap screens.
That is true.
And those break.
Yeah. Ed?
We call a $299 or $200 laptop a disposable laptop.
Right.
Because most cases they last about a year.
Ouch. Yep. And that's what I tried to talk my son into when he bought his, at the time, $800 Sony Vaio. And I says, I can get three disposable laptops for that. That better last 3 years.
And it had problems almost immediately.
Almost immediately. The hinges.
The hinges were the problem. Okay.
And that's known for having problems.
Let's get back to our callers. And Jerry from New Hudson, Michigan. Hi, Jerry. You had another question you wanted to ask.
I was wondering about the... warranty on something like that. Unfortunately, my son bought this from Best Buy a year and a half ago when I was in the hospital, and I've had poor experiences with him, and I warned him about their reputation, but he bought it from them, and I took it back to him, and that's useless. So, of course, getting to Toshiba is another problem, but maybe I'll have to. But would that normally be covered by a warranty, a hard drive?
Well, you can buy a warranty. I've actually had really good experience with Best Buy. I'm not close enough to Shane's company to really use them. It's an hour and a half-ish away.
We know the real reason.
But I know that Best Buy is right there down the street. So, but I know that my son, when he had a gravity event on his computer, and we went, that meant he dropped it, then... We went and bought a computer at Best Buy, and he decided that he would pay. I paid for the computer, even though he dropped it, but he wanted to pay for the warranty, and he picked up an extra warranty. And they do have them, and they will cover everything under that warranty. So even if he drops it again and takes it back, they'll replace it. And they can't replace it with the same model because that model's not being manufactured anymore if it's more than a year old. So they replace it with a comparable model that's brand new.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I don't know if he bought the warranty or not.
No, I didn't. But, I just thought something like that. I mean, it's a matter of the way the thing is constructed or what they put into it. That something like that would be.
Well, you just heard.
So how old is it?
Year and a half.
And what brand is it again, please?
Toshiba.
Yeah, you've heard Shane talk about, and folks, this is very important. You get what you pay for. You know, there are brands that give you that are noted for much more durability than some of the other ones.
I haven't had that many problems with the Toshibas.
I haven't either.
Now, the hinges.
Well, it depends on the model. If you're talking the 17 inch,
To be honest with you, I haven't seen many Toshibas.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, their sales, they're not what they used to be.
Yeah, they're not.
Meaning their sales, at one time they're killing it. Mm-hmm. Everyone is buying Toshibas. Their quality has caught up with them a little bit. I think the word has gotten out about them a little bit.
Oh, really?
Okay. And I don't see as many people owning them as they once did as before. But, you know, it's got a Toshiba hard drive that he's talking about. You know, every hard drive has its own particular coverage.
Right. Well, but Toshiba probably didn't make that hard drive, right?
Oh, no.
Probably not.
A Western. But it's
probably Seagate. I think it's
Seagate. Yep. You're right. If it's a Toshiba, it's probably Seagate.
Yep. And that's been consolidating too as well.
Yeah, I mean.
But Seagate's, you know, they put Seagate hard drives in a lot of computers.
Right? Well, Toshiba used to make their own hard drives.
But
that's what I'm saying. Toshiba was a very familiar brand for hard drives, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think they're coming all out of the Seagate.
Yeah, I think they are too.
In the one, what is it, the Philippines or?
Yeah, I mean
Thailand. I think it was.
Seagate's manufacturing the Samsung hard drives now too.
Right,
for the most part.
Let's talk just a little bit. And Jerry, thank you so much for your call. But the question that Jerry raised, and I want to ask this to you guys as well, kind of go around the horn on this: when you're buying a new computer, a laptop or a desktop or whatever, is it worth buying an extra care package on top of it? Because that's the first thing that salesperson says after you've, you know, got the thing. You know, the device itself will come with normally like a year, okay? But then they immediately, I don't care most of the places you're at, they're going to try to sell you that extra care package. Is it worth it?
I don't buy it for me.
Nope.
But I don't buy it on my phones. I've never broken a phone.
Yeah.
I've never broken a laptop. I once in a while have had back a number of years ago, I've had components fail, but not very often. But I take care of things.
You're
now
asking the wrong.
Now my son, on the other hand, when he said, "I think I'll buy the warranty," I went, "Smart move," you know, smart move.
Foster, I think you're asking the wrong crowd. We're all technical, and if something happens, we know that when we purchase a laptop, we're going to do the manufacturer's DVD creation, if it has that.
That's right.
Or flash drive creation, or making sure it has the restoration partition, and then we back up our data. So if something does go wrong, we'll probably go out to Amazon.com or use the manufacturer's existing warranty and order a new hard drive or the hinges.
You're capable of working.
Yeah, but when my kids went to college, I wish I would have bought them a warranty.
See, that's just it. I think that for a lot of the people who were listening to right now, the reality is that warranty is something that would be of value to them. As you say, we're kind of techies. We'd love to tear things apart and replace the different components to it. What do you think, Shane? And you're selling these things to people.
Yeah, you sell the warranties. Yeah. What do you think?
We don't sell any warranties.
Well, you don't?
No.
Okay.
We stand behind the product. We'll support the product. We'll facilitate their warranty through the manufacturer for them if they want us to. But, you know, it all depends on the laptop. It's just, if it's a $300 laptop, you don't buy anything. I mean, if it breaks,
it's
disposable,
you
know. Yeah. Right? But if it's an expensive laptop, you know, $900, you kind of have to do the math. Being that we're in the field, we know what a screen replacement costs. So roughly around $200.
Yeah.
But if the warranty's $200, you know, it's like, you know, you have to break it down.
You know what I will tell you, the Best Buy warranty, real quickly. My son bought it, and he calculated that 2 years, actually a year and about 11 months, his battery's going to fail, and he's going to have to go get a new battery because they'll replace a battery no matter what. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get a new battery in 2 years.
Yeah, all right. 800-859-0957. Let's hear from you. Once again, I'd like to thank the folks who helped make this program possible behind the glass, as they say. Mike Stett, thank you so much. Also, Ann Nichols and Rich Lisensky. That's the folks who are behind the glass. And out here in the studio, the Rowdy Gang. We've got Shane Hamblin,
yes,
and Eddie Riddell and Gary Baker.
The
thanks, guys. You know, by the way, folks, we've got like about 10 minutes left, and we do have some phone lines open at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957. 859-0957. Now, this will be your last chance to get a question in for a while, so please do. By the way, during the fall, we are often preempted by Michigan State University football, and when that happens, you still get to ask your questions, and that's by going to internetadvisor.net and then clicking on the Contact Us button, which will you'll find information there. You put some information in. Give us all the details you can about your system, the problem you're having. Send it off, and we will do our very best during the week to answer that question. But also, when we are preempted by Michigan State football, then what we do is we come back and use those questions on the air. We answer them in those off weeks on the air. Sometimes we'll even call folks back and talk with them and get them going on some of the questions that they've asked. And we've had some pretty interesting ones. What was one we had, Eddie, recently that I thought was really interesting?
I'm married, so I had to decline that line.
Get out of here.
No, you was about only the, wish.
Hey, remember, somebody died. Somebody had died, and nobody knew what the password was.
That's right.
Yep, and they called, what do I do? And I said, boy, we just had a guest on here about a year ago about that. Yep. And that's one of the things you want to talk to when you're developing your estates and your wills and your trusts and stuff like that.
We just had our wills done and power of attorney documents. But one of the things I didn't do was thought, I use a password manager, LastPass.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, there's so much, if I don't give somebody that password, if I were to die, I mean, Ginny doesn't know it. Right. My wife. And we could be in really serious trouble.
And you can change it. So you got to remember to change wherever you're putting that password.
Right. So one of the issues on that is the password for the PC, usually you can break into that.
Yes.
Not an issue. Or you take the hard drive out, unless there's encryption. The other thing is what you're talking about, the ability to go online to do your accounts and to do your banking. That's what you need to update your, and then get power of attorney. If something happens, you know, you get the death certificate, and then you have they can just, you know, transfer the account to someone, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. And have that information. Okay, let's go to Jim from Lapeer, and welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, Jim?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Well, I got a situation here. My computer is kind of lagging at home, and when I get on the WJR to look at you guys and at your past shows to find out the information on a company, a guy that was on there that owns a company over to Mount Clemens area, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure. But he dealt in refurbishing laptops that he would get from hospitals. They were higher end than that, and because I want to just replace mine at home with a laptop.
Oh, okay. You're wondering how wise that kind of thing is?
Or who he was.
I need his number and his name because I can't get the information off.
Fortunately, he's in studio here.
I think it's the same guy. Okay.
Yeah, how you doing, Jim?
Here we go. All right. I've been listening to him, and I didn't even realize.
I'm sure he doesn't want to give out his number over the phone. People would call. He'd get too much business that way. So, Shane, could you tell?
And then that's the thing. I'm a very modest guy. I don't normally like doing it. I'm here to help you, not sell you a computer. Mm-hmm. But, yes, we're on Shaner 19. We're called Comp Tech Services, Shaner 19 on the corner. You can't miss us. You can find my contact information right on the website, on the Internet Advisor website.
That's the problem I'm having, though.
Oh.
With my computer at home, I can't go anywhere with it.
Well, why don't you give them the number, then?
It's an older one.
The store.
So if I could get a phone number, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I will give you the number. But what I'm gonna give it to you off the air if that's
why?
Okay.
Sure. Now that's
because
why.
You get too much business.
Well, no, you know what? Because I mean, that's just to me, it feels to be the more professional thing to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm really here to help people, not sell them a computer and hawk my services.
All right.
I love people to come in and see me. I'm at 19 and Shaner. Feel free to come by, even if you have just a tech question. I'm there,
okay.
I will get that number to you. I promise you, Jim.
So, Jim, what I'm going to do? Matter of fact, what I'll do in just a moment is we'll go put you on hold, and then Annie will get you the number. But folks, I want to also point something out to both you as you're listening here, by the way, Jim, as you're called in, and other folks at the very bottom of our homepage, InternetAdvisor.net. There's something called Your Trusted Computer Repair Shops, and what that is if you click on that, that's a hot link that will take you to. It'll take you to a page that shows you different people who have been recommended by our listeners, people like you, who said, I went to this shop, and boy, did I get good service, and you ought to go there, too. And that's why, you know, people don't pay us to be on this.
And
it's you folks out there who have said, yeah, these people are really good. And when you go through that, you'll find CompTech Services, which is Shane's company, listed in there because he was recommended by a number of people for the great work they do. If you're out in Walled Lake, there's Synergy PC Solutions, yeah, AI Tech Services in Farmington Hills, Tecoso and Ferndale. I mean, there's a lot of these things that are right there on our homepage.
And we don't go out and vet these people, but these are people that
recommended by our
that
listeners.
Our listeners have called in and recommended. So.
Yep. They've got
word of mouth advertising. That's
exactly why we have that there as a service to our listeners, because we feel that if you go to, you know, to these people or click on that, you'll find people who our listeners have gone to and have received good service from. It's like going out to a restaurant, yeah, and getting good food and saying, "Boy, that was a great place and great service." Ed,
and you know, a lot of times if you just go to Bing and search for a computer store. I mean, we're really big on Bing. Mm-hmm. If you do CompTech Services or computer in Sterling Heights, you'll see us show right up on the first results, right, on the right-hand side. And our Yelp reviews are there and everything.
Good. So, by the way, you mentioned Yelp reviews. Why don't you explain that for folks? Because they can both do that and use them.
Yeah, Yelp is a service that allows you to find a local business in your area. There's apps for your phone for both Windows and Android and Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the area and you're looking for a computer store or just a restaurant, pretty much anyone that is in that area that uses your service can go to Yelp and do a review of your store. You know, mm-hmm, the food was great, or the service was good, or I went in to see Shane at CompTech. You know, I bought this.
Yep.
And what it's nice about that is it also gives the owner, the business owner, a chance to reply to,
yes,
that review.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did that once. There was a restaurant I went to, mm-hmm, in downtown Royal Oak. Excellent food, but a horrible service.
Yeah.
The restaurant owner replied to me on the site there, and because he felt that it wasn't a fair characterization of the restaurant in general,
yeah,
certainly was my opinion of the service that night at the meal, but you get to respond, which is really kind of good. So, Jim, I just wanted to keep you around for that conversation and for the rest of the people who are listening out there, because when you're looking for a local shop, you know, there are people like Ed and Shane who have, for, you know, loved to work with computers, had their hands in it, but Yelp is another tool you can use to find that kind of place. Okay, Jim?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
You know, I was just thinking about that. We love working on computers. I was working on, like I said, the family members or friends of a family, and their computer hard drive failed, and mm-hmm, I was doing some extensive tests. You know, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning going, I wonder if that diagnostic's finished. My wife goes, so I went out into the living room, and I checked the diagnostics, and then I went back to bed, and she's going, what are you doing? I mean, because, you know, sleep is very important, you know, not
same,
to me, though.
That's
same
how
thing here.
Addicted same these thing people are. Well, I want to thank Shane and Ed and Gary for indulging their addictions here with us and helping you folks on the phone. Thank you so much. And again, if you have problems or concerns during the week at 4 o'clock in the morning, if you want,
don't call them. Not at 4 in the morning.
Don't call them, but go to internetadvisor.net, and you have the Contact Us link on that top right-hand side. Click on that, and then fill in the information and send it to us, and we will have an answer for you as quickly as we possibly can during the week. Look forward to seeing you folks again in the future. By the way, go back to internetadvisor.net Sunday night, and you will find the podcast of this program. You can listen to all or different parts of it. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great week. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.